Welcome back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, all part of our wise conversations around here. I got my ice cream scooper out because I got some butterscotch ripple. It's a lot around here this week. They suck me into politics, and I'm doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be letting ourselves play with a vegan crab cake, believe it or not, at the Land of Kush on Wednesday. I'm going to be joined by Brooke Learman, going to be joined by Tharu Vignaraja, and also sitting in Kirby Fowler from the Maryland Zoo, talking about brew at the zoo. Two things I like, animals, beer. It's going to be a nice day. But we're also presented by our friends at Goodwill and our friends at Window Nation. So we got crab cakes this week. The Adley Rutschman thing happening, we think. They're running this race over at Pimlico this week. And we also have this little golf tournament going on. So I'm squeezing a lot of different stuff in. Did a great conversation with Bob Herrig, who wrote a book on Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods a little earlier this week. You can check that out. And, of course, locally here, we partner with some great people around here that do great things. And Ed Miller always tells me, bring me a club. He used to say, bring it over to Forest Park. Bring your set over here, and I'll teach you how to play. Teach anybody to love golf. And I fall in love with golf during majors, Ed Miller. And apparently, you've made a move now. You're even closer to where I live now. So I come down and see you at Mount Pleasant now, right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Hopefully you still have the clubs. But, yeah, come over to Mount Pleasant. Love to teach you some golf and get you out on the golf course.
All right, man. Well, I know this, and I know guys like you that teach golf, love golf, watch golf, talk golf, think golf, some gamble golf. For you with this major this week and them going out to Tulsa and all the Mickelson stuff and this money coming in from the Middle East, it's gotten sort of complicated off of just who's going to play. And then there's Tiger Woods, and then Finn Mickelson's not playing. And we have a whole litany of players, Cantley straight on down, who are playing great golf right now and making the tour very competitive for people who love golf.
Absolutely. Hit it right on the head. Hopefully the PGA Championship is always one of my favorite majors. Obviously, as a PGA professional, PGA Championship is actually run by the PGA of America. So it's kind of like my major to watch.
Nice.
And, if I actually
not
worked
the British
game,
folks off doing it over there.
Yeah, exactly. So, you're absolutely right. The PGA Championship, I hope it's not being drowned out by all this Phil Mickelson talk, and very interesting for sure. Ironically, a year ago, it was Phil playing and making history and Tiger not playing, but this year, the opposite. So,
well, for flyover guys like me, right? I mean, I'm not out on the links I'm not hitting balls. And I do, my wife loves watching golf. So when it's on television, she'll put it on, but I am a flyover guy, Masters, PGA, majors, everybody is. But when you fly into this, there's Phil and Tiger because they play the greatest hits. And, whether you think they can win or not, they have recently. And now Tiger making the cut at the Masters, sort of overseeing everything that happened the whole weekend, right? That there really is the flyover people like me set the tone for golf to some degree in the conversation, because people can't get enough of Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. And part of the Mickelson thing is they're offering him so much money because he's a big deal, right? These guys are a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. With the book coming out today and some of the reports, the amount of money that he was offered, it'd be a hard one to turn down. But definitely going to put the PGA Tour on notice, I guess. And who knows? Hopefully positive changes for all tours going forward after they hash out all this stuff with the Saudis.
Well, Ed, I'll tell you what. You're at this. You're a PGA pro. It's PGA weekend. And they run a little race. And we got baseball and all that. But let's – when it comes to golf for you and the criticisms of the PGA and, Fowler coming out and saying sort of in, no uncertain terms, I'd be open to listening, and the money and the blood money. And I'm a journalist and I'm not real big on journalists being cut up into little pieces. So I'm not big on that. But the notion that money would come in on this, and I've talked about this a little bit this week with Preakness, right? Because the winner of the Derby's not coming. It's not about money as much as health. But when Spend the Buck happened in 85 and they were skipping the Preakness, similar story. It was just a bunch of money from New Jersey saying, come run your race against the grain. And I guess the PGA, as much as you and everyone else have made your fortune, your largesse, your living, whatever it would be anywhere from Phil Mickelson straight on down, the PGA has sort of supported a lot of this to make a lot of this possible. And while there are criticisms of it that are valid, the notion that somebody's coming in and trying to like move in on the turf is certainly worth conversing about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I don't want to say I don't have an opinion on it yet. I'm still trying to gather more and more information, especially now that the book was released today, and have to read a little bit about more of the stuff coming out on Phil. But I don't know. It brings back memories of over 20 years ago when Norman started it. And ironically, Norman's involved in this as well. But, you know, hopefully, like I said, it'll make the tour better. From my point of view, I've always felt like that the best players in the world kind of played in the bigger tournaments, the financially bigger tournaments. So, hence why we have so many European players over here in America. So I'm not really sure where this is going to go, but it's definitely going to be very interesting to watch over the next month, because I think this will probably get to the courts and not settle on the golf course.
Well, what for you, and by the way, Ed Miller's joining us here. He's over Mount Pleasant. We're going to talk Classic Five and talk about going out and hitting balls in the aftermath of being inspired this weekend by watching them hit out in Tulsa. For you, with all of the drama and all of this, if Ed Miller's made commissioner of the PGA, and I know that's a goal of yours, what things would make it better? I mean, what would be the criticisms from a player's perspective, I would say, that you would want to go take blood money or run against the grain or late in your career want to like leave the WWF and go to the AEW? I don't know how else even to explain it. That's the only way I understand it, right?
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like the tour has done a lot of things over the last couple of years to try to enhance play for not necessarily the top shelf guys, the Justin Thomases, the Jordan Spieths, those Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods. I feel like the top 50 players in the world are well taken care of. In my opinion, it's always been about trying to make things better for the guys that are number 75 to 125 on the money list. And one of the things that I've always loved about golf, and you know, compared to other tournaments, is contracts are not guaranteed. So these guys only make money normally when they play well, especially when you're not talking about the top 50 players in the world. So for them to be intrigued by a money offering to play on other tours, it kind of makes sense. But if I were the commissioner of the PGA Tour, obviously I wouldn't want to hurt our brand and our tour. That's why I think it's so. I don't know. This is going to be very interesting. That's why.
But besides money, what could make it better? You know, and get more people participating in tournaments other than just majors. And look, I mean, this is a competitive environment all over the world. Golf's being played everywhere. You know, in Asia, in places where there's lots of money. And you know, Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer and Greg Norman and you know have built this over the course of our lifetime to make golf so big that you get to make a living teaching it and having fun playing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And but that's the part why I'm somewhat confused on this whole thing. You know, obviously I'm a Mickelson fan too, so it's kind of, for me, it's bittersweet to see all this and to see his fall from grace. That's why I can't wait to read the book, actually, not to give that guy some extra pub on his book.
Dude, you'll be back on in a few months, so they'll have another major. We'll bring you back on. Yes, I'll get a book for you, Ed.
By then, we'll have a nice opinion, yeah, and I'll give you what I think about the book. But, you know, I think the tour is in a great place, honestly. I've enjoyed watching it the last couple of years. I think, obviously, the money and the purses are great, the lifestyle that those guys get to live. So I'm not really sure what they're looking for, honestly. I feel like they're getting taken – They're being taken care of pretty well, I think. And like I said, the money is good. They get to travel. So I'd have to do a little bit more research before I make a big opinion on it.
Well, you love watching the tour on TV on the weekends, right? I mean, yeah. And we loved last year having it up on the hill here, right? Yeah. And the city was illuminated by it. It was a great event. It had an unbelievable – talk about the storyline of this horse in Kentucky. We had a pretty good horse race on the hill up here, right, at Cage.
Yeah, absolutely. It was
and it's something you remember. It's something we're going to be talking about in Baltimore forever, that we had that thing here, and it – it went pretty well as I saw it. Right.
Nice. I know I got to attend it one day. I hope you did.
I went the last day. It was, well, you know, I was doing the crab cake tour and I cut the crab cake tour short by a day. It was the 29th of August, right? Like literally on that Sunday. And I woke up and believe it or not, I hit John Maroon and Matt Williams, our friends from Maroon PR, and they were doing the PR. And I'm like, I woke up in my own bed on Sunday. I thought I was going to wake up in Frederick. But my wife and I just decided the last night, no offense to Frederick, we were having a good time. We've been on the road. I came home, and at 7 in the morning, I woke up. My wife was just happy to be home because it was a Sunday, and we've been on the road a lot, you know. And we were going to do the farmer's market, which we always did, live downtown, you know. And I'm like, I could go up. Maybe I could buy a ticket or do this, but like I'd like to be a media member, and I didn't want to be there all day. I just wanted to go, and I went up for like 4 hours and walked up the hill and down the hill and around the corner and felt it all and smelled it all and took pictures and videos and like it was friggin' big league. I mean, it was, I'm hard to impress, right? I mean, and I'm not a golf guy, admittedly, but it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing for the city. It really was.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely put golf on the forefront, obviously brought the tour back, and hopefully it raised enough revenue for all the businesses in the area. It was definitely a fantastic event. Absolutely.
Did it bring people out to your place? I mean, everybody hits a golf ball for you over Forest Park last year, Mount Pleasant this year, wherever. They were engaged in the way that you'd say, I love baseball and I go to Orioles games. If you love golf, you found a way to get out there. It wasn't so unaffordable and so removed that you couldn't find $100 or whatever it is to go out there and be a part of it in some way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And as a regular golfer, you know, Caves is very nice, very exclusive. It was a great chance for a lot of people who had never been at Caves to go check it out and see how pretty it was and see the setup for that tournament. But yeah. Every time there's a tournament, you know, we just had a tournament in Maryland a couple weeks ago, and it does feel like anytime there's a tournament in the area on the PGA Tour, it just gets people talking, gets people wanting to play more. It's always a win-win.
Now, look, man, you talk up all this. And by the way, we have an azalea bush at the end of my street, and I keep looking, and I'm like, they're so beautiful. What are they? My wife's like, they're azaleas. And I'm like, oh, that's why people go to Augusta. But man, you're like, oh, it's so beautiful at Caves, and it's all. But like, Mount Pleasant's no dump. Neither's fun. None of these golf courses are. You know, they're all beautiful. They're all playable. They're all accessible. You don't have to drive to the Eastern Shore, the end of the moon, or like me driving out to Cumberland to get a crab cake and a beer. You're local, and I'll just give the first shout out to your new place. First time I drove over there, I had a street map, the old ABC map that you got at the Royal Farms for you know the city, and I didn't know where it was because I was going. The Baltimore Skipjacks skated at the rink, at the ice rink.
Oh, okay.
And so coming over there in 1984, 85, 86, I found Mount Pleasant through ice and through hockey and through the AHL and my friend Gene Ubriaco from the Sioux, who was the coach. You know, it was always frozen in there. Give me a little update on your course and just quite frankly on you, Ed Miller. I mean, you've moved around here a little bit, and I would think some folks – nothing to drive from one course to another, and you got five of them, and they're all fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you so much for that. Yeah, all five courses are great. Obviously, I had a great 6 years at Forest Park. Looking forward to my tenure here at Mount Pleasant. The neat part about Mount Pleasant, if you didn't know, is we have a nice history here of championship caliber golf as well. The PGA Tour was held here in the 50s up through 1962. So we have been graced with some great players out that have played out here, like Arnold Palmer, Kerry Middlecroft, Sam Snead. So in that respect, yeah, absolutely. Mount Pleasant is a fantastic
golf course. This is like when I tell people before they remodeled the Royal Farms Arena, I'm like, Zeppelin, the Beatles, the Stones, Sinatra, Pavarotti, U2. That's just, you know, like, hey, you know, I mean, when the stars play, it's an iconic course is what it is, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a course that, you know, opened in 1934, has had some of the best players in the world on it. And honestly is still holds the test of time, so to speak. It is a great golf course, still an awesome challenge. And, we could host the tournament tomorrow if we really wanted to. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Ed is the pro over at Mount Pleasant at this point. Of course, Classic Five, you can go out, learn all about all the courses, affordable, available. Not as easy to get on maybe as you think on a Saturday morning or whatever, but make your plans before the PGA Championship comes this weekend and the Tiger wins. What do you make of Tiger at just in general? Just we talk about iconic, right? And we talk about where we are and the accident. I mean, it's getting Shakespearean now, right? Like, absolutely. Really, the story's crazy.
Yeah. And that's the irony of a year ago, you know, him trying to just learn to walk again. And the first time seeing that car and on the news and thinking Tiger would never, ever, ever play again. And the two things I would say is, you know, Tiger's always stated that he would only play in the tournament if he really thought he had a chance to win. So I got to think he's been preparing pretty well and getting ready for it. And I was fortunate enough to actually go to the Masters this year and got to see Tiger up close.
Whoa. Hold on. First time?
Actually, third time. But, it was a great time. Went down there, and he looked fine in person. He's hitting the ball fine, I would think, as long as his stamina holds up and he can make the 6 days of walking out there, you know.
How did you make it down to Augusta, man? Up the hill, down the hill, you know? Oh, come on.
Crazy, right? Yeah. It was a tough, long day, but it was fun. I needed it. You know, pure adrenaline. Bunch of $3 sandwiches help keep you fueled up all day. So it was good.
I eat too much at that price, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
A little pimento on there. Is that what they're doing down there?
Yeah, they do that. That's only $1.50. The pimento and cheese sandwich.
Get me too. Ed Miller joining us here. Cheapskate Ed Miller, just back from the Masters. give me a little. Like, I had Leonard Raskin on, my friend and sponsor from Raskin Global. You can go find him at Baltimore Positive. He took a call. And he always talks about saving money and the American dream. He's going to Wimbledon this year for the first time ever, something he really wanted to do. But he got a call on Tuesday to go to the Kentucky Derby and went 2 weeks ago and just said, boom, I'm doing it. I've been to the Derby. I have turned down two Masters, and I'm not proud of this. I mean, I'm just being, like, honest. I had a chance to broadcast from there 20 years ago when I was at Sporting News. And they asked me, do I want to do it? I'm like, sure, I'll do it. But, like, you're probably better off sending Bob and Bruce because they love golf and it means something to them. Where me, it'd be a party. It'd be fun. I'd be good on the radio, but, like, I don't need to be that guy. So I didn't. And then when my wife had cancer the second time, a friend of mine who's connected in Augusta through football said, you can come down. We had a flight. We had it all. My wife just wasn't well enough to do it. You know what I mean? She just wasn't physically well enough at all to do hills and stuff. I mean, on golf course, there's no elevators, you know? Yeah, literally. And she just beaten cancer the second time. So we haven't been, I can't say that it's, like, on my bucket list, like I have to do it. My mom is from Abbeville, South Carolina, and her older brother made his whole life in Augusta. They lived in Martinez. I even know how to say it. It's not Martinez. It's Martinez, and Evans. And they literally, I used to see the gates, the brick and the rock, you know, I've been to Augusta and I don't know. My uncle was pretty connected, dude, to some degree there, and a townie and, like, all that had we been able to go walk around when I was a kid or something. Maybe I could have done that, you know, because I remember the house. I spent time there in the 80s, 70s and 80s. We drove to Augusta. It was 40 miles from my mom's, you know, like all of that. Remember the smell of the bacon in the kitchen because it was Georgia. But I can't say that, like, my life would be incomplete if I don't go, because I'm not, like, the golf guy. But if I had an opportunity to go again, I damn well would do it, right? I mean, and I don't say I have the means or I can make a call or I can figure out how to go down there on Tuesday or Wednesday and watch a practice round, which would be good enough that I don't need to be taking up space on Sunday for some guy like you. That's kind of how somebody said to me, why do you sit on the lawn at Merriweather? I'm like, dude, I was in the pit and backstage all of my, I'm letting you sit up front now. Like, please, dude. You know, so for people that have been to the Masters to go back for a third time, give me a little travelogue, Ed Miller, about why my wife and I need to do this.
Well, the setup there, they've been, you know, they run their own tournament. And after years and years of it, it's run very smoothly. I'll say that first. Number two, the course itself. And since you were down there, it's pretty wild, isn't it? You ride down the street and you feel like you're driving down I don't know, an area of Pulaski Highway or something like that. And then all of a sudden you see the signs, and once you get through the gates, you don't see a road or anything anymore. And you're like, oh, wow, this is a nice piece of heaven right next to this busy road that it's that it's next to. And then once you actually get in there, the golf course is it's pretty. Obviously, that sounds funny, but it's very awesome. It's pretty flowers. Everything is green. And as a sports fan, I would tell you, even though you might be a casual golf fan, it is like the Super Bowl of golf. Now, unfortunately, I've never been to a Super Bowl, but if I were to relate the two, I would think going to the Masters is the closest thing in golf to going to a Super Bowl. It's the best players in the world. It's actually a smaller field than most, so it's a little bit more of an intimate setting. Then you have the history of the golf course, great food prices, and I like.
Can you get near Butler Cabin or no? Is that sort of that's a restricted area?
You can see it from a distance, but yeah, you can't really get up in there. That part is pretty well protected, I
right
guess.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, I'm just asking it. Here's the last stupid question I got to ask you. The birds, real?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, birds, okay. Real. I thought they were piping that in. I wasn't sure, you know.
Oh, no, you hear it all. It's, and you know, not to compare us to Augusta, the neat thing about Mount Pleasant, Augusta, it's wild to see all the hills. There's not a flat lie out there. And to think that when they built that course, they probably didn't use a lot of equipment to mold land or move dirt. It makes it even more spectacular. So,
well, I'll tell you what, for a guy that respects the game and travels around and teaches the game on a daily basis, you know, the love of the game, I'm glad you got to go. I'm glad you were there instead of me. Literally, that's how I feel about it. You know, I feel guilty, you know, I mean, taking up a seat.
No, you should definitely go. That's, you know, that, the level of respect down there too. It sounds really funny, but the people are really, really nice. Now, I've never been on a weekend, but one of the things I've always found fascinating about the Masters is that you can show up on a Monday, put a seat out on the golf course with your name on it, and you can leave it there for the whole week. They never touch it. They don't move it. And if you're just a spectator and you're tired and you need a break and nobody's sitting in the seat, it is considered a respectful thing to do. Go ahead, go sit down in that seat, catch a breath. Only thing you have to do is move if the owner of the seat comes back. I'm not sure if you can get away with that at most other tournaments, but I always found that fascinating at the Masters. As simple as that is, I think that's really neat.
You know what? And I'll say this, you know, I was a little fat walking out on the BMW course because I had crab cakes 29 days in a row. You know what I mean? But I had done some walking too, but I did some French fry eating. And this year, Ed, I got to be honest, man. I did 30 crab cakes in 30 days for my 30th anniversary last year. So I'm doing 31 in 31 days. But I got thirsty as hell doing that thing. So I'm doing breweries too. So we're going to do 31 breweries, right, in August. So that day that I spent out at the BMW, it really was about seeking some shade, seeking some air. Like, is there a flatter way to get there? Where's the bathroom as I'm drinking and walking around, which I needed to drink because it was hot the last day. And I did see the people of privilege. They tried to sneak me into one of those villages. One of my drunk buddies, come on, you're nasty. Put a man. And I'm like, dude, don't, please. I don't need a seat. I'm fine. It's good. I don't need a shrimp cocktail even. I'm gold, man. But there is a part of it. It, I don't say grueling, but it's not like going to a Ravens game and sitting in your seat. It's just, it's different going to a golf event. It really is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Most of it. That's the neat thing. Those players tend to walk anywhere from 6 to 8 miles. And if you're a spectator, you might as well say you're going to walk 5 to 7 miles unless you find you a nice spot to sit down or a place to anchor for an hour or two. But yeah, it's definitely different than going to most sporting events because there is a level of physical activity for you to watch the golf. So yeah.
Well, tell everybody about your course and coming out. And like for an idiot like me, I get inspired. I want to play. What do I do?
Yeah. Well, you get to classic5golf.com. Pick one of our five courses. I would say come see me at Mount Pleasant, though, and we'll make sure you have a good time. But
I'm going to tell the other pros you said that.
Yeah. They'll hear it. But now come on out. The one thing about golf and one of the reasons why I chose the profession, everybody out on the golf course is out to have a good time. It's you know, we're escaping work, we're escaping whatever. So come out, enjoy yourself for 2 or 4 hours, whether you play 9 or 18 holes, escape whatever stresses of life there are and go out and enjoy some nature, some competitiveness, and hopefully a good time with good company.
A long walk, not spoiled. Ed Miller, he's over at now at Mount Pleasant, formerly at Forest Park. But you go to any of the Classic Five. You go out to the website and enjoy a great week. You'll watch the horse race, too. We got Preakness going on. The Adley Rutschman sweepstakes begin here in Baltimore as well this week. And Luke and I will be talking about all that. Ed, always appreciate it, man. I love having you guys on the program. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Esther, you are the man. Thank you so much. You have yourself a wonderful week. Thank you.
Ed Miller joining us here. He is down at what I call the hockey rink, but Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus called it a place they could cash a check back in the 50s. He is at Mount Pleasant. You can find me anywhere, anytime, all week long. We're doing the Land of Kush for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill. I got a little Goodwill gear rolling here today. I also have my Goodwill giveaway truck. And the wheels on the truck go round and around with my stuff in it. No broken plates. Give those to Juliet over at the broken plate lady. And our friends at Window Nation are doing new windows. They're doing two for ones. They're also sponsoring our incredible Maryland Crab Cake Tour, which we're putting on the road and moving around with great, great guests. They got the Rue Vignaraja, Brooke Learman. I got all the vegan people this week because we're doing the vegan crab cake at the Land of Kush. So it's going to be pretty cool. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Vegan crab cakes and BaltimorePositive.com.